version that I have. I always read from the NRSV. There are reasons to pick various translations. None of them are 100% perfect because they're translations. My mama grew up, and for her, the King James Version was the only version, right? But there are many translations, and there's benefits to each one of them in different ways. So NRSV is the one I'm going to read from, and what I'm going to do is I will... Ooh, hello. Okay. That's on. I will read, and then you will begin to hear a refrain. And when I give you the words of the refrain, you simply say them with me, okay? The words that are not the refrain, I say, but then the words of the refrain, we will all say. And the reason I'm doing this is because this particular psalm, Psalm 136, we've been working through the psalms and we'll continue to do so. The last psalm that we will hear as part of this series is the first Sunday of Advent, which is November the 27th. So I'll give you the scripture verses actually for the next few weeks. And if you want to read ahead, you can when you're at home. Obviously today it's 136. Last week we heard from Psalm 114. Next week we will hear the words of Psalm 146. November the 20th, we'll take a step back in the Psalms because I want us to visit one of our favorites, Psalm 23. Okay, I thought that would be a good way to sort of start wrapping up the series. And then for Advent, we're going to read Psalm 139. In that, because I want us to focus this Advent season on the idea that the light is coming into the world and that the darkness shall not overcome it. No matter what that darkness looks like or what shape it takes, the light will not be overcome by the darkness. So today, in some ways, our message is also just that. It is similar, in fact, to our message of last week. Last week we heard about how God is with us from generation to generation. We will hear that same message today, but with a twist. And you'll hear it. So I'm going to read Psalm 136, and then I'm going to ask you to help in reciting the refrain. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's your refrain, okay? Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who struck Egypt through their firstborn, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from amongst them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed famous kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Shion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to his servant Israel, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Indeed, his steadfast love endures forever. Did you hear how that worked? Time and time again, you hear it. 26 times, to be exact. For those here who are our musicians, you know this is how music works, right? The chorus or the refrain is the heart of the song itself, the central message of the music. Good or bad, some of it today is terrible. I ain't gonna lie. Not sure where it's coming from. Not a good place. Some of it's just absolutely terrible. Good music, though, comes from here. Good music comes from here. And our psalms, it's music. It's the hymn book of the church. Before, there was whatever the, we don't have a, I mean, I don't know, we've got a hymnal. With the great Baptist, you know, there's the Baptist hymnal, the Glory to God, which the PCUSA publishes. There's all sorts of different kinds of hymnals. But before there were all those different kinds, there were the psalms. And this particular psalm was read in the church, in worship, for centuries. It's been read in worship. And there's a reason for that repetition, right? God wants us to hear. I called it in the other two services, same thing, earworm. You know what that is? Some of y'all that are musicians, you know what that is, right? It's that song, you know, and it gets, the chorus gets stuck in your head and you're singing it all week, even to the chagrin of the folks around you. Like, there's one that my son used to love to sing, and it was Baby Shark, whatever that is, okay? Please help me. Rescue me from Baby Shark, okay? But that's what it does, right? A song can get stuck in your ear, you know, get stuck in your mind's eye, right, in your brain. It gets stuck there, and it won't leave, and sometimes that's just annoying. That's an earworm. But in this case, it gets stuck in our ears, in our hearts, and we're glad. His steadfast love endures forever. That's the earworm I want you to carry around all week. Carry it around all week, everywhere you go. I don't care where it's at, if you're in Whitefords, if you're at Big Boys, whatever, if you're over in Lawrence, I don't care where you are, I want you to be hearing those words. His steadfast love endures forever. I want you to be in the grocery store, you know, rolling your cart through the aisle and looking for, I don't know, cereal and corn pops and who knows what else. Chef Boyardee, that's what I look for these days because I have a young, and you know, he likes SpaghettiOs. Whatever you're looking for, I want that to be in your ear. His steadfast love endures forever. If you're in traffic and you're getting ready to fuss or say something not nice about the person in front of you, his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. You think that might work? His steadfast love endures forever. That's the point of this psalm. The point is to remind us. We've heard the history of God's people in that one psalm. There's three other psalms that are similar to this. They don't have the refrain, but there's Psalm 78, Psalm 105, and Psalm 106. If you're at home and you're doing a Bible study or you're looking at Scripture, look at those three psalms. Why? Because they are similar in nature to Psalm 136. They span the great works of God. In Psalm 136, in and of itself, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament all wrapped up into 26 verses. Really? The New Testament too? Oh yeah. Did you not hear it? Listen to that last, the next to last stanza. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, rescued us from our foes, who gives food to all flesh. Right there. Is that not New Testament language? Do you disagree? It's okay if you do. But I'm going to still say it's New Testament language. We are New Testament people, so we can find, we can see all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament language. God's dream. His steadfast love endures forever, and He gives food to all flesh. All flesh. Mm-hmm. You see, we hear in 136 of how God created the earth, right? So He takes us right back to Genesis, to where it all started. Then He carries us through to when He freed His people from slavery in Egypt. That's a common theme for the Jewish people, to remember their heritage. It's something that they're known for. If you go to a Jewish synagogue, I've had the privilege of being in a synagogue and learning from how they worship, where some of our traditions come from. And one of those is that they believe in their heritage. What God has done in their past anchors them. What God has done for them over the centuries anchors them in the present. It reminds them of who they are. You see, there's no great task really to being a preacher. Sorry to burst y'all's bubble. Not that it doesn't take some level of skill, but really my job, any pastor's job, is really just to remind you every single week of who you are and who God is. Remind us why. Because we're not at home. We're not at home. We still live in a place that is not our home. Why do you think it's a struggle day in and day out? You don't pick up the newspaper and go, yippee, it's all good today. Right? That doesn't happen, does it? It doesn't happen. You turn on the news, you pick up the newspaper. I mean, look, and there's tons of great news in the Lawrence County paper, right? There's tons of great news in the advertising. I'm not knocking it. What I'm saying is that regardless of what we do, listen, I worked at the Independent Mail for years and I would constantly hear this thing. Why is it always bad news? I said, have you seen the world today? There's good news in it, yes. But we live in a world that is broken and messy. We are not in our home. We are a broken and messy people struggling against all kinds of things the enemy is throwing at us every single day. Every single day. None of us are going to gather around our Thanksgiving tables at Thanksgiving and get along with everybody at the table all the time. Listen, you can have the absolute best family there is, and there's going to be somebody at the table or some point in the dinner where somebody's going to say something. You're going to think, keep my mouth shut. Right? I'm telling the truth. I love my family. I love them. Right? When I got together for the reunion, knew that there were going to be folks at the table that I better not talk about politics one iota, or it would just be an all-out war. Truth.
Yep.
So we kept the safe topics, right? At Thanksgiving, we're not going to unearth all the trauma and the things that have happened in the family over the decades that have caused wounds here and there and everywhere. We're going to, as Mama says, we're going to keep our mouths shut and we're going to keep the peace and you're going to behave at my table. Right? You got mamas like that? Grandmamas like that? Uh-uh, you're not going to bring it up? Not at the table today. Y'all best behave, right? I had a lady in one of my churches in Abbeville. She was like that one day. She said they all got to shouting at each other. She banged her fist on the table. She said, if y'all going to do that, you can go back to your own houses. You're not going to do it at my house. And they shut up. Because they knew better. Right? Okay? We live in a world that is not our home. So it's going to be a struggle. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday, it's going to be a struggle. This is why we need Psalm 136. Because in it, it reminds us that His steadfast love endures forever. That the God who created the world, the God who set His people free from slavery in Egypt, was the same God who got them through the wilderness. And then the same God who was with them in exile. That last stanza, scholars believe, was written by people in exile. So you see, what had happened was they took the psalm, they preserved their history and their heritage. That's the whole reason we've got scripture, folks. It started out not as the written word, but as the spoken word. And it was a people who refused to let God's story die. They passed it from generation to generation to generation to generation, eventually, till finally somebody said, you know, we might need to start writing this stuff down. Okay? And they did. They preserved it because that was what was important to God's people, to the people of Israel. It was important to preserve their heritage. So they told the story over and over and over and over and over again till we have it today. And each time they add, because the new generation comes along, how is God working for us today? Where do we see God in the midst of us today? How is God with us in exile? How is God with us on Tuesday when we go to the polls? How is God with us when someone we love dies? How is God with us in the midst of the darkest valley and the brightest day? Where is God? His steadfast love endures forever. That's where. He hasn't stopped. He's not stopped giving prophetic words to His people. He's not stopped healing people through the power of the Spirit. He's not stopped performing miracles. He's not stopped any of it. His steadfast love endures forever. That's the refrain. No matter what happens on Tuesday, no matter what happens on Friday, no matter what happens on Saturday or even next Sunday, His steadfast love endures forever. And the people of Israel who were in exile wanted us to hear that. God wanted us to hear that. God wanted us to hear that. Why? Because we need to be reminded. Because we are not in our home. We are in a home right now of struggle, of pain, of strife, of division. We see it all around us. It has not started yesterday. It didn't start 10 decades ago. It has been there since the beginning of time, since the fall in the garden. And it will be with us until Jesus comes again. And what will also be with us? It's His steadfast love. It endures forever. Food for all flesh. You hear that? You see, all of a sudden the psalm, it goes from being, you know, for the people of Israel, the people of Israel, the people of Israel, boom, all flesh.
There's still some folks in the Jewish community who do not believe it is for all flesh. I'm not saying we don't love our Jewish brothers and sisters. Do not hear me say that. What I'm saying, though, is simply a fact. There are some people, even who aren't Jewish, who think that maybe somehow God is for just this flesh. Maybe God is just for the olive flesh. Maybe God is just for the dark brown flesh. Maybe God is just for this group of people. Us versus them. God is just for the Republican. God is just for the Democrat. God is just for the white, just for the black, just for the brown, just for the Hispanic, just for the refugee, just for the lost, just for the last, just for whatever. But this right here says to us, God came to feed all flesh. All flesh. I'm not making it up. It's right there. And I don't know about you, but all flesh to me means all flesh. All flesh. Whoever God chooses. It's not up to me to choose. It's not up to me to set limits on God and who God has come to save. All flesh. But we're going to struggle because this is not our home. We're going to struggle with the idea that he came for all flesh because we are still in this world. We are. But his steadfast love endures forever. Forever. And if you think I'm telling a fib, let me tell you the story. I don't even know what the year 356 looked like, but I'll read you this story. It sounds weird almost, doesn't it, to say the year 356, right? It was midnight on a Thursday, February the 8th, the year 356. Athanias, a leader in the early Christian church and passionate defender of the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, he believed that God was enfleshed in Jesus, not just a man, but also God. He was leading a worship service, and in the midst of the worship service, loud shouts and clashing armor could be heard outside the church. Soldiers had come to arrest him and carry him away. But Athanias said, I didn't think it right at such a time to leave my people. So he continued the worship service. He asked a deacon to read Psalm 136, which you just read, and requested the congregation to respond with that refrain. His steadfast love and endures. They read it 26 times over the din of the soldiers outside. Now, if you can't imagine soldiers coming to the door of the church, imagine the weight of the Clinton Police Department and the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office coming to the church and banging on those doors right in the middle of our worship service. We don't often have to wonder about that or worry about that, do we? But some people do. In some places still today. And here, that's what they had happening. Just as the final verse was completed, the soldiers rushed into the church, bearing their swords and their spears, and they crowded forward up toward the nave to arrest Athanias. And the people yelled for him to run, but he refused to go until he had given the benediction. Some of his assistants, as soon as the benediction was over, they crowded around him. They protected him. And as he said, he recounted later, I passed through the crowd of people unseen and escaped, giving thanks to God that I had not betrayed my people but it seemed to their safety before I thought of my own. Athenaeus was portraying to his people God's love, which endures forever. He was willing to lay down his life for his flock, just as Jesus had laid down his life for his flock just a few centuries earlier. Since God's faithful love endures forever, why is there any need to worry? His faithfulness, his love endures forever.